Well, it's been a morning already. I want to just again welcome any guests that are here. I know it's a kind of a different Sunday. It works out to where we try to celebrate the teams, and obviously with 120 kids, if they all were to be here, we would definitely not fit on the stage. And so it was really exciting to see somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 300 to 400 people out here in the backyard for several weeks in a row. And it was really just an opportunity to minister to the community. And I hope that the church body just really understands what an impact this has on just the community and just the kingdom of God. And so I'm just here to bring the word today. My name is Jason. I'm the family pastor here at Heartland, and it's just a celebration today, and it's kind of a little bit different than normal. Brian's not preaching. We're celebrating soccer, and you know, usually we wouldn't set that much time aside for something, but this was a big deal. And so I'm really glad that we took time on Sunday morning to make sure that everybody understands and celebrate these kids. And we're also going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. And so I know some of you are already thinking, we've already taken that much time, and the Lord's Supper takes that much time. So I promise I'm going to be quick. I will be in and out of here, and we can get to lunch soon enough. But I'll do my best anyway. But anyway, as we wrap up celebrating CSA, and before we get to the Lord's Supper, let's take some time to get into God's Word, because as awesome as it was to celebrate soccer, and the Word of God is what's preeminent here at Heartland. And so if you are a guest, this is where we put this is where we put our effort, is in the Word of God, and this is everything we do revolves around the Word. And so turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. If you're a guest, there should be a Bible in the seat rack somewhere close to in front of you, and I did not take time to look up what page it would be on, so just cheat off your neighbor and see where they're at, and get to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And today's title, if you're a title kind of person, I'm definitely not a PowerPoint kind of guy. It just doesn't happen for me. Usually things that I do are very last minute. And so no PowerPoint today. You're actually going to take notes old school if you want to. If not, just kind of catch what you can. But if you're like me, when you read the Bible, there are certain things that perk your interest more than others. And I'm not going to say that there's things that aren't important, but there are some things that when I read about it, I'm like, that's really interesting to me. I'm a builder by trade. I build houses for a living, or we remodel how we do different things. And so when I read about building in the Bible, it catches my eye. And so what I thought was the most interesting, though, was the timing of reading this passage, and we'll get to what it is in a minute. But I came across this passage about a week ago or a little more as I was in my daily reading in the Past Point class. You know, that we're reading through the Bible in a year just to kind of keep us focused on the Word of God. And so anyway, I was reading through this just randomly. And, you know, the timing, I'm praying about what I'm going to preach for the Lord's Supper today and how this is all going to work out. And so if you don't know, most of you do, but the Lord's Supper, some people would call it communion, but it's a time of self-examination that the body of Christ can stay clean. And 1 Corinthians 11, 28-29, it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." We're supposed to take this time and examine ourselves. We want to make sure that there's no sin in our lives that would leaven the body of Christ. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, King Solomon, most of you know who King Solomon is, but King Solomon is the son of King David, and most everyone knows who King David is. He's, you know, a man after God's own heart. And King Solomon, he wants to build a house for the Lord. But King Solomon, he's known for something. He's known for his wisdom. And it shows in this passage, because he's wise enough to know that, well, he's not a builder, right? He's wise enough to know that I'm going to need some help to get this done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." And in the New Testament, our bodies, if we're believers, are the temple, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God himself. God indwells you. He lives inside of you. The temple that Solomon built was temporary for the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, we are that temple. And as I'm reading and I'm praying about how we can liken the Lord's Supper to what's going on in this building, it's really hard to miss what's going on. In the Old Testament, Solomon, he's building a dwelling place for God. But in the New Testament, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, we're the tabernacle or the dwelling place. just as Solomon was wise, he knew that he was going to need help in building the temple, right? We as believers should understand that we need to be wise and understand that we can't keep this temple clean on our own. You know, our best efforts, the Bible says, are as filthy rags, right? And so anyway, we understand we're going to need some help. I tell you all that as a way of introduction, right? To kind of help set the table for the Lord's Supper, right? You see what I did there? Set the table. All right. Anyway, so that's what we're going to, it's all introduction. Okay. So, we're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verses 1 to 7, and then we'll pray and we'll get going here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. And Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, and 80,000 to hew in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, 'As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to declare it unto him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great." It's not a little house. "For great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house?" This is where Solomon, he starts to realize that this is a big task. He says, "But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him?" And then in verse 7, this is where it gets good. He says, "Send me now therefore a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and in purple and in crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for what you did just through an amazing ministry in Christ Soccer Academy. And Lord, our best hopes would have fallen short to what you did, bringing so many different people from the community and from the church. And Lord, I pray that there's not just fruit, but much fruit, and fruit that remains from a ministry like this. And Lord, I pray that our community can see that we are a church that's just serious about, just getting the word of God to the families. Lord, we love the community, and I pray that, you know, the word of God is reaching them through the different ways that we can reach out through soccer and VBS and the different things we have coming. And so, Lord, I do pray that you'd speak to us today as we get into your word here just for a short amount of time, that you would just reveal to us where sometimes we fall short, and that we would just desire to be more like you. Lord, just allow us to, as we go through this, just evaluate ourselves as we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and that you would just get the glory from all those things. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. Verse 7 of the passage we just read says two things that I want us to take note of as we look at building God's house. Because that's what we're talking about today, is building God's house. One's pretty obvious. You can read it right there in the words. But the other is more implied. The first thing we see about the man who builds God's house is that he's cunning. Solomon says that in verse 7, "Send me now therefore a man cunning to work in gold." We don't use that word cunning very often. It just basically means a man that is wise, a man that knows what he's doing, right? You don't want to, you know, have a plumbing issue at your house and call the electrician. Right? He's not going to probably be very cunning in the issues that you have going. He's not going to be very wise. You want somebody that knows what they're doing. Solomon says, "I need somebody that can grave the stones, that can do the things. I have a lot of people here that are willing to come alongside and help him, but we need somebody that, well, is skilled in the trade." That's what he's saying. I need somebody that is wise. The second thing that Solomon asked for, it's more implied about the man who builds God's house, and it's that he's got to be willing. This is not a small task. You can send me a guy who knows how to do all these things, but if he's got a bad attitude about it, if he doesn't want to be here, we've got a big house to build, and it's going to be a long process for all of us. He needs to be wise, and he needs to be willing. Solomon needs somebody who is wise and willing to build God's house in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we also, as believers, both need to be wise and willing if we're ever going to keep this house, this tabernacle, this dwelling place of God clean. If you think you can do it on your own, through your good works, through all of your best intentions, you will fall short. We have to be wise and willing if we're ever going to keep the house clean. I told you I was a building, and I get asked this question a lot of times. Is it better to remodel my house or to sell it and build a new one, right? And my wife can tell you, I will give you the same answer 10 times out of 10, maybe 12 times out of 10. And I understand that there's issues that go into this, and sometimes finances get in the way, but it's always going to be better to build a new one, right? It's always going to be better to build a new house because you know what you've got from the foundation all the way up, right? But here's what I want to tell you about the God that we serve. The Lord, He does things differently than I do. God wants to use you, not someone new. God wants to use you just as you are, and He wants to take you and mold you and transform you into something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." God wants to make all things new within you. He doesn't want to push you to the side and say, "You're not good enough. You're not going to work out." He wants to take you just where you're at and say, "I can use that." You know, with a little bit of molding here, with a little bit of working over here, let's knock a little bit off over here. Let's mold you. Let's sanctify your life and let's be more like Christ. Right? That's what He wants to take you to do. He wants to take the hammer of His word and mold you into the temple that He knows that you can be. If someone was to tell you the day that you got saved that, hey, God's going to dwell inside of you, He's going to live inside of you, He's just going to be with you all the time, that would intimidate a lot of people. I'm not good enough. I'm not clean enough. I can't do that. When God looks at me, He doesn't want new construction. When I got saved, He didn't say, I'm going to put that out of the way and do something. He sees me maybe as like the greatest episode of a Fixer Upper, right? He sees me as like, I can do something. Or actually, in my case, maybe like more like this old house, right? I mean, it's just not as new as it used to be, but He sees me and He says, I can use something there. I see something that maybe you don't even see in yourself. That's what God says, right? In the time we have remaining, I want to look at three things, and I promise I'll be quick, that we can do that are going to hinder building God's house, because that's what I want to look at. We're talking about building God's house, and in the New Testament, we are the temple of God, and there are things that we can actually do that are going to hinder that process. God wants to use you. He wants to take you. He wants to mold you. But there's things that you can do, right? You can like dig your heels in and say, I'm not going. And God might say, okay, we're just going to take the long way to get there, but we'll get there, right? But there's things that we can do to hinder what God is doing in building the house. And we don't want to do that. So the first thing I want to look at is, you know, being wise but not willing. We talked about God needs somebody who is wise and willing. The first thing that you can do to hinder what God's doing in building the house through you is be wise but not willing. It's one thing to know that something needs to be done. Or to see something and say, you know what, somebody ought to do that. Somebody ought to take the trash out. It's full, right? Or I guess somebody ought to just push down on it. Maybe we can get a few more things in there. I don't know. But anyway, somebody should do something about that, right? But if you never act on it, then nothing changes. You can tell yourself year after year after year, I think the house needs a coat of paint. I'm starting to see the cracks in it, right? We ought to do this. But if you spend every Saturday on the golf course, the house is never going to get painted. It just doesn't work that way, right? You can see that the door is literally coming out of the door frame, and you just kick it back into place every time, right? My wife's laughing because this is happening. That's one thing about being a carpenter, right? You got time to work on everybody's house but your own, right? You can see that it's coming out. You just put it back in. It's not a big deal. Instead of just taking a little bit of time and putting some screws in it, you can see that something needs to be done, but if you're not willing, it's never going to happen. You can see that there's sin in your life, talking about, you know, your body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. You can see that there's sin in my life, but instead of confessing it and forsaking it, you say, oh, I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'll just push it back into the closet. Maybe it won't come out tomorrow. That's never going to work. You can see that the children's ministry needs servants, right, to teach the kids. You can see that we need coaches for soccer. I promise there's going to be more kids next year. You can see that we need people to help out with VBS here in a couple weeks. But instead of stepping in, you step out, right? You're wise, but you're not willing, right? That's a problem. in Exodus 35, verses 4 and 5, I'm just reading the verses to you because I don't have as much time as we normally have today with everything we have going on. It says, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord." And then here's where it gets good. It says, "Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering unto the Lord, gold, silver, and brass." God doesn't say, "Bring me an offering." He says, "Bring me an offering with a willing heart." You've got to be willing to give it. I'm not here to twist anybody's arm and say, "Hey, you should help us out in the children's ministry," or, "Hey, you should come and help out with VBS." I'm telling that you're missing out if you don't, right? I'm telling that you're missing out on some of the best ministries that HBF has to offer. When we've got 300 or 400 people in our own backyard, over half of them have never been to a church ever, you're missing out, right? You're missing out on what God's doing. If head knowledge never translates to heart knowledge that brings us into an action, then we're hindering the building to God's house, right? You can be wise, but you also have to be willing. You can know that something needs to be done, but if you're not willing to actually step in to the role, step in and say, "Here am I, send me, Lord," nothing's going to change. The house will never get painted, right? The house will never get painted. The second thing that you could do that will hinder the building of God's house in you, and I told you, I'm trying to be very quick. I teach Pass Point on Sunday mornings, and I usually move quick, but this is even faster than that. So we're moving very quickly. But the next thing that you can do is you can be willing but not wise. Well, that's almost as big of a problem as the other way. You can be willing, but not wise. If we're going to build God's house, then we have to not only be willing, but we've got to be willing to learn to be wise as well. It's one thing to never volunteer to do anything because you're scared of getting involved. But it's another thing to volunteer for everything and not have any idea what you're doing. I think they're equally as unhelpful, right? They're equally as not good. The good news is around here, if you volunteer for something, we've got lots of people that want to show you how you can do it, right? You want to help with VBS? Chris Cohen would love to come and show you how you can do it, right? By the way, we could probably use about 8 more people to fill up all of VBS and VBA. I was talking to Chris last night. Praise the Lord on that. But, you know, that takes probably 80 or 90 volunteers to make that happen for a week. We could use a few more. But anyway, you could be willing but not wise. I'm living proof that if you're willing, you can teach an old dog something new, right? I don't want to say new tricks because I'm not much into tricks, but I've never coached soccer in my life. Actually, soccer intimidates me. I play a lot of different sports, but soccer I'm very uninterested in because I know very little about it. And Sam said, "Oh, no, you should do it." And I said, "No, Sam, you don't understand. I should not do this," right? And then I said, "Okay, I tell you what, I'll do it, but you need to put me with the youngest kids of the young, like the little guys, because they won't know if I don't know what I'm doing." He said, "Okay, we'll work it out." We had the U-14s, right? Jackson Fleshman, I had to look up at him to talk to him, right? I'm like, these guys are going to see right through me. I'm living proof that if you're willing and you're willing to submit to some training, God can use you, right? It doesn't matter what the ministry is. We could always use ministers in the children's wing. And most people say, "Oh my gosh, kids scare me." Well, they terrify me too, right? But you know what? You just got to serve them. You know, there's every ministry in this church could use someone else to step in. If you're just willing, we'll train you along the way, right? Think about soccer for next year. I'm telling you, we're going to need coaches now. You might be willing to change the electrical panel in your house, right? You know what? I think I can do that. I saw a YouTube video. I think I can DIY this thing on the weekend, next weekend. I can do that. But it's probably not the wisest thing you've ever done, right? Both of my sons work with me at work. And I think the difference between the two of them is one of them thinks that because he saw somebody do it one time, he can do it, right? Just watch. Oh, I can do that. And the other one, he's a little different. He's like, "You're going to have to show me 5 times." And that's okay. I would rather do that than, but you know what? Just because you watched a video on it doesn't mean that you know how to do it. And you're talking about something like an electrical panel. You can't do that without the right training, right? You might be willing to tempt yourself with that same old sin that's tripped you up time and time again, thinking that, you know, this time it'll be different. This time I'll have victory over it. This time I won't look twice. This time I won't fall into it. Let me just tell you, that's probably not wise. You might be willing, but it's not wise. You might be willing to teach in the church, but without proper training, right? We have an amazing training program. We've got Discipleship 1 that'll take you and just take you through the most basic doctrines that we have at HBF, right? Salvation, and eternal security, and you know, the ordinances, and just all the different things, the Word of God, right? And get you a foundation of what's going on. And then, you know what, if you want some more, we have D2, where we can get into some of the deeper things and really dive into how to study your Bible, right? We can give you the tools to put in your tool belt to take and actually get the job done. You might be willing to be a missionary, but without training and actually living it out here first, sharing the gospel here first, that's going to be unwise. Just because you're willing doesn't mean that, well, one, it's wise, and two, that we're going to send you, right? We want to make sure that we've got people who are actually doing it here, living it out here, walking it out here. Hebrews 5:12 says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Instead of learning when you should have learned, you were just kicked back, right? You were just taking it easy. And now all of a sudden somebody's asked you to do something and you're like, wait a minute, I'm not equipped. I only had 5 years to get through D1 and I never did it. I never signed up. Right? I only have this much. You know, the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. And you might say, well, if I never signed up for D1, then you know what? I'm not held accountable for that. I would venture to say that if you've been around here long enough and you knew something was available for long enough and you continue to turn a blind eye to it over and over again, it was given to you and it will be required of you whether you took it or not. Right? If every year you're like, you know, I probably ought to take D2. But man, that's every Wednesday night for like an entire school year, and now it's even 2 years long. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it's here. The training is available. You know, if not, why not? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, it's the qualifications of a pastor, and it says, "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" If you're not doing the actions already, why would you think that I'll go across the world and do it over there? It doesn't work like that. Just because you're willing, you have to learn the wisdom that goes along with it. And then the last thing that you can do to hinder, this might be the fastest that I've ever tried to get through something. The last thing that you can do to try to hinder, or not to try, but you will do to hinder the work, the building of God's temple inside of you, and it's probably the easiest one to happen in the culture we live in, is try to build it your way instead of God's way. Right. When I read this passage, it actually didn't jump out at me like, hey, this is what you should preach on the Lord's Supper morning. Actually, what came to my mind, and I actually texted him, most of you remember Vinny Nigro from the Vision Conference, the young guy that's going to go to Kosovo with his wife, Megan. And I've been texting back and forth with Vinny a couple times a week since he's been here. I've got a pretty good relationship with him, just encouraging him. And, you know, he's texting me things, too. I don't know how he's even got time. But anyway, he's actually what came to mind as I read this passage. And, you know, God said, I need somebody who's wise and somebody who's willing. And that's what him and Megan are. They're wise and they're willing. And I texted him and I said, this is what you guys are. And you're an encouragement to me because you're not only wise, but you're willing to go. But then, coincidentally enough, because that's how God works. He works through coincidences, right? That's absolutely not how God works. He's divine in everything that he does. Every circumstance in your life, God is divine in those things. On the same day, and on the one-year reading thing that we're going through, I read this passage, and then there was a psalm that went with it. And on the very same day, this psalm was in there. And I think this was the biggest thing that I wanted to send to Vinny on that day, was it's not just to encourage you that, yes, I'm glad that you're wise and that you're willing. But Psalms 127, verse 1 and 2 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat bread of sorrows, for so is he that giveth his beloved sleep." I texted him because I was convicted that I know Vinny and Megan, they're really excited about getting to Kosovo, and I'm excited for them. I just can't wait. I hope to be able to go and see them in Kosovo. I'm excited about the whole thing. But it's not just about being wise and willing, but it's making sure that it's God that's doing the work. A lot of times in American Christianity, we do our best to get in the way of God and the work, right? We do our best to get in the way, to somehow muddy things up instead of just allowing God to work. Remember, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's God's house. So if it's God's house, if God has bought you with a price, right? That's what it says in the book of Romans. He's bought you with a price. Why don't we let him have it his way? I mean, it's his crib. Let him design it how he wants to, right? It's where he lives, right? It's his. Why are we trying to make it like we want it? Our culture likes Christianity on our terms. We were talking about this with the devotion with the soccer team yesterday, right? The culture we live in, we like Christianity on our terms. We want the a la carte version of Jesus, right? We want to pick and choose the things that we want, and the rest we'll just kind of, we'll take up. We want to pick and choose the parts of the Bible that we call, quote unquote, relevant, right? That's the word that everybody wants to use. Well, that's what's relevant. And the rest, they're just suggestions, right? It was for a time before this, right? It was a different time in history. I'm telling you, the Word of God means what it says, and it says what it means from the beginning to the end. Jonah actually did end up in the belly of a whale. Noah actually did build a boat before it had ever rained, right? Moses actually did lead an entire nation full of people through a sea that God parted. Over and over and over again, the things that we read and we think, those things couldn't have really happened. I'm telling you, they did really happen. And you know why I know it? Because the same way that you would say those things couldn't have happened, if you would have known me before Christ, you would have said there's no way that that guy could ever be a Christian. The same miracle that he did through all of those other people, he did in my own life. And I see it through other people's lives as well. People that we've prayed for so many years of our lives and thought, man, if God would just get a hold of their heart. And then when he does, and then it just blows us out of the water. And like, I didn't really think God was going to do that. Right? I just thought maybe he'd get them to church every now and then. And then all of a sudden they're bought in and they're doing it. And God does miracles every day. Right? We want to pick and choose the parts of the Bible that are relevant, but the rest are just suggestions. Right? Let me just tell you, this ain't Burger King. You don't get to have it your way. Right? It's God's way. God sets the terms. You know, if you're trying to quote unquote fix up your life for Jesus, let me just tell you what's going to happen. You will fail every single time. And eventually, the asphalt will hurt hard enough. Eventually, it will hurt bad enough on your face that you're going to think, all right, maybe I'll try it his way. But over and over again, we see people that they just want to keep doing it their way, right? They just want to fix up their life. They're going to fail every time. Casting Crowns has a song. It's an old song. This tells you how old I am. But, you know, he says, I got to stop trying so hard to stop trying so hard, right? We're just like, man, if I could just get this to happen, then I can get over here and get this to happen. And then if all the dominoes fall just right, then the house will crumble, right? Because that's what happens, right? You can't build a house of cards because it will always fall. But if you allow God to take it, he can do anything. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 7, he sounds like Dr. Seuss when he's like, why do I not do the things that I ought to do, and the things that I ought to do, I'm not doing, and then the things that I'm supposed to be thinking, those are the things that I'm not thinking. And it's like, what is he talking about? He sounds like he's writing a children's book, right? It's the same thing, right? It's because in our own will, in our own flesh, we will always fail. That is why we must allow the Lord to build the house, right? We have to live his way, not our way. We have to love his way, not our way. We have to serve his way, not our way. Well, I don't serve in that ministry because, well, it makes me uncomfortable. That's interesting. I didn't find any ministries in the Bible that God was like, that makes me uncomfortable. I just won't go there. I think he talked to all people, children included, for those who don't want to attempt to talk to kids. And I'm not saying that that's what the ministry you should be in, but I'm just saying, man, God reached all men, always. We're going to serve his way. We're going to forsake the things that he wants us to forsake. We're going to stop with the pick and choose Christianity and you know, say, not my will, but yours, Lord. I'm going to quit trying to do it my way, and I'm just going to let you have it. Right? We're actually going to live out what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That sounds intense. You want me to present my body as a living sacrifice? I mean, yeah, I do, but Paul said it first, right? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the level of how much you're willing to lay your life down as a living sacrifice is going to show you which one of those categories you'll be in, the good, the acceptable, or the perfect will of God. You know, how much do you really want to lay down? How much do you really want the Lord to have control That's what we have to decide. And it's not a one-time decision. You have to decide that every day. I have to lay my life down every day. I have to say, not my will, but yours, Lord, every day. Because I tell you what, my flesh every day says, I want to sleep. I'm telling you, when the alarm was going off at 4 o'clock this morning, I didn't want to get up. That's just how it works. But you know what? Not my will, but yours, Lord. Some of that's procrastination. Some of it's just wanting to make sure I had everything where it needed to be. But, you know, that's just a normal Sunday morning. Not my will, but yours, Lord. We need to take our lives and we need to lay them down on the altar. I know a lot of times we look at this down here and, you know, the altar, we use it to, and this is a good thing. I mean, these are door hangers for, you know, inviting people to church in the park, or not church in the park, Spark in the Park and VBS. But you know, the altar is a place that you can come and meet with Jesus. We've got to take our lives and we've got to lay it down on the altar and say, from today on, Lord, it's not my will, but yours. What would you have for my life? When was the last time that you actually got so serious with the Lord that it intimidated you? Because I promise it doesn't intimidate him. When was the last time that you had a conversation with God that was so personal and in-depth that you thought, this could be life-changing? Right? This could really rock where I'm at. And I mean, not just, you know, physically, but I'm talking about locationally. When you give God everything, you might be surprised about what everything means. When was the last time you had a conversation with the Lord like that? That's the kind of conversations he wants. Meet him at the altar. Say, what would you have, Lord? What would you have for my life? I'm tired of trying to do it my way. I'm trying to pick and choose and take the things that I like. And the rest of them say, well, I'm not sure that that really applies to me. When was the last time you actually got serious about what God wants to do in your life? Not the church's life, but your life personally. Those are some things to think about, church. God doesn't want just some of it. He wants all of it. And if you're going to allow him to indwell you as a New Testament believer, you better be willing to allow him to mold you as well. It's his house. You've got to allow him to have it, allow him to do with it what he desires with it. And you have to say, not my will, but yours, Lord. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just being good to us, Lord. Man, it feels like a message in fast forward, and there's so many things I want to elaborate on, but, you know, this is what you had for us today. And so I just pray that you get the glory for these things, Lord. And, you know, God, I pray that, you know, it's been quick. We've been in a hurry. We're trying to do a lot of different things. We've got the Lord's Supper coming up. But, you know, some of us, I know as I was even preparing this, you know, these things hit, they hit hard. Lord, some of us, these things, they mean something to us. And, you know, they're convicting is what the Bible says. They pierce at our heart and they draw us to action, right? The altar is open for you to meet with Jesus today. You know, whether you want to come down and actually meet with him or meet with him where you're at, but God wants to hear from you. You know, some of us here, we're wise, but we're not willing. We know what the Word of God says. We know that we're equipped to do certain things, but for whatever reason, we don't want to get off the bench, right? We just want to sit on the sideline, Lord. I pray that you would convict us and call us to change in that area. Mold us. Some of us, we're willing, but we're not wise. We'll say we'll do anything for you, Lord, but we won't submit to a little bit of training. Lord, the training is available. The church is here. But some of us, we're just not willing to walk through the door to say, you know what, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. You want me to sign up for that trip, I'll go. And I'll take the training that goes with it. And some of us, Lord, we're trying to have it our way all the time. We've been in and out of the church for years, and we want to pick and choose. And Lord, I pray that you would just break our hearts over that. Lord, it's your house. Our bodies are your temple. And I pray that we would lay them down as a living sacrifice. Lord, somebody might be in here and they're like, I don't even know what being saved is about. My body's not a temple of anything right now other than what I put in it last night. And God, I pray that if there's somebody that you just is convicted about that, they want to know you, they want to know what it means to actually have a personal relationship with you, that, you know, they would be willing to, you know, just say, that's me. I need to know who Jesus is. I need to meet him personally. I want to have that relationship. And, you know, the Bible says that, you know, today is the day of salvation. There's no reason to put it off another day. You know, we spent the entire soccer season talking about, you know, how we could go through the Romans road and how God can take our broken sin and take us all the way to eternity with him. But we have to take the first step and say, Lord, I'm willing. Is there anybody that would say, I'll take you up on that? I would like to know what the Bible says about being saved. Show me. let me make an educated decision. Is there anybody in the church that would just say, I'm broken and I need to just lay it at the feet of Jesus. I just need him to come in and I need to allow him to take this temple and do with it what he wants. I just need to get out of the way. Lord, I pray that a message like this wouldn't fall on deaf ears, that you would just get the glory from it, Lord. I pray that you would just convict us and draw us closer to you, and that you would, allow us to celebrate, CSA, but not only CSA, but the Lord's Supper as we get ready to transition here. Lord, I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.